John, I believe it is, where he said, "Now, beloved, are ye the sons of God?" Well, if we don't find it, we'll read a little bit here. So over in chapter 3, 1 John, you got your Bibles, you can turn over with me. Many years, I always got sermons and prepared sermons, and then there came a time when I stopped preparing sermons and I even stopped getting a scripture. I just go to the pulpit without even as much as a scripture, knowing where I'm going to read, and just whatever comes, that's what I come up with. And it just changed around to where it looked like it worked out that way. And God gave me sermon, and it's hardly ever that I ever prepare anything beforehand anymore. But I'd like for you to turn with me to the First John chapter 3. Now I want to read here, beginning at the first verse. Now then, Brother Beach has been reading for us, but I'm just going to read two or three verses here, so I'll read this myself tonight. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." All right, now then, I want you to especially notice something here tonight. Now, in the teachings, we've talked night after night how the transgression of the law is sin, how that the Lord has delivered us from sin, proved, and we still have it on tape, how that God has actually caused us to pass from death unto life, and that with us there is no more sin, and there is no more death, and now we have the victory over death. Now we taught it was to be revealed in the last days. It wasn't to be revealed until the very last days. And it was not, how many of you understand it was not to be revealed to the church world? It was to be revealed only to the bride, because she's the only one that's going in the translation. And so then, last night we discussed the difference between the sons of Satan and the sons of God. How many remember that last night? We took the parable of the sower, where Jesus said that it was the Son of Man that sowed the good seed, but it was the evil one that sowed the tares. And we proved how that the evil one had sowed the tares, going all the way back to the garden. All right, now then, I'd like to point out something tonight. I want you to listen real close. Sometimes we have to go back and repeat ourselves in maybe a verse or two to be able to clarify to others and to be able to get you to see what we're talking about. All right, now then, I want to point out, now you've noticed we've got a map of the Holy Land here, and then we've got a map of the United States here, and then we've got a map of the whole world here. You'll notice these three maps here play a real important part in the plan of God as far as giving us some sight or some understanding of something we can base our spiritual understanding on as we try to find the mind of the Lord. Now, I said the other night that God never comes to the Jew except as a natural individual. That is, he appears unto the Jew as a man. I don't mean that he doesn't give them supernatural visitations in angelic form, but I mean when God deals with the Jew, he deals with him as a natural man, as a natural people, as a natural inheritance, and whatever he does with the Jew, he does it all at one time. In other words, the Jew, the Bible said, a nation shall be born in one day. As a Jew, you can't go to them individually like I would go to you, because the Bible tells us that there will be a nation born in one day. You just take it over to the rabbi. If the rabbi accepts it, then he converts the whole group of Jews. Everybody believes it. I wish, Brother Delmer, it was that easy for us over here that if the preacher believed it, the people would accept it. Brother Junior, they don't do that over here. Bible said that concerning the Gentiles, let every man work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. And so then it's an individual fire with the Gentile only in the United States. But with the Jew, it's not an individual thing. It is a collective thing. In other words, the rabbi says it and they believe it. And that's how a nation can be born in one day. Now then, when God deals over here with the Gentiles, he does not deal with them as a natural man. I want to say this tonight, and I want you to really get a hold of this. This is the reason why the church world will miss the coming of Jesus. This is the reason why. They will not get the coming of Jesus because they're looking for Jesus to come in the natural heavens, in natural clouds, to come and catch away a natural people, and he absolutely will not do it. Now, not only am I saying that, but I can prove it by the scripture. Over here, this is the spiritual age, and this is the age in which Christ appears unto mankind. He doesn't come, he appears. There's a difference between the coming of Jesus Christ and the appearing of the Lord Jesus. As a matter of fact, when the Lord appears, the Bible says he appears the second time without sin unto salvation to them that look for him. And in his appearing, it says here in 3rd chapter, 1st John, said, when he appears, we know that we shall be like him. The Bible said that the Lord of God, who is the Spirit, shall suddenly appear within his saints to be glorified within the saints of God. In other words, he's suddenly going to appear within us, and it will be a spiritual revelation. Now that I made the statement the other night, our brother Condra from over in Missouri, back up in Illinois, he came down and we had been talking to him about the difference between the coming of Jesus Christ and the appearing of the Lord Jesus. Well, he just couldn't seem to get a hold of it. So he went back and he checked his Bible, and in the King James Version where it spoke of the coming of the Lord Jesus, he began to run reference on it. And as he run reference on it, run it back to the Greek Testament and to the original, he noticed that they had translated the original, from the original, they had translated the King James Version into the words where it said the coming of the Lord. But in the Greek Testament, it pointed out that it was the coming of the revelation. And so then, when he found it, he come back and he was so amazed, he said, Brother Pike said, look at this. And then he began to check it out, and it spoke of the coming of the revelation. And so then, I said to him that here, this is the religious realm. Now, can I look to point out something here, for instance? Notice God is a Trinity. He's a three in one. He works in a Trinity. Everything in this world with God is a Trinity. And it's a three in one. God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in one. There's one faith, one baptism, one God. But if you take those faiths, you'll find out there's three faiths in one. The baptism, you'll find out there's three baptisms in one. And if you'll take God, you'll find out it's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, three in one. Take mankind that's made in the image of God, and you'll find out he's body, soul, and spirit, which still is a three in one, the image of God. So then we've got a natural world with a natural people that's called the old world. How many of you know? Now the children here especially understand this. How many of you children remember in your history book where it speaks of us about forefathers leaving the old country of the old world coming to the new? How many of you remember reading that in your book? I see some hands going up back here. All right, this is a map of what we call the old world, and it is a tie of the old world that shall pass away, which will be burned with fire. That's why that all the wars that we have, you've noticed they're never over here in the United States, but they're always over here in the outer courts. Now, you might not be able to understand this until later when we teach on it, but if you'll notice, right around here in Washington, D.C., this is a District of Columbia. This is a separate place altogether from the rest. The District of Columbia is completely separate. It doesn't belong to the United States. It doesn't belong to any part of the world. It's an individual thing of its own so that it can govern the rest of the United States and be sovereign, and so that no state can claim it. Not only that, but it really governs the whole world, because the whole world shakes and trembles at the authorities of Washington. Now, here's something I'd like you to especially notice. Over here in the natural country, we have a natural world, an old world, a natural people, and God deals with them as a natural people. He promised a natural man called Abraham. He promised him a natural inheritance of Canaan land. He had Jacob, and he changed his name to Israel, which was the name of a nation. Had 12 sons, which was natural sons. And those 12 natural sons begat 12 natural nations, and God gave them an inheritance over in Canaan land that was absolutely natural. But then there came Jesus, which had 12 sons, that was spiritual sons. His name from Jesus to Christian, which means the name of a spiritual nation. And he had 12 sons, spiritual sons, and these 12 sons gave to you and I the 12 spiritual fruits that's found in the book of Revelation. I brought it out last night, how did the tree of life stand on either side of a river, and the Bible said it yields 12 manner fruit, and those 12 manner fruits is the teachings of the 12 apostles, which is the fruits of the Spirit. Alright, now here is a natural world. Over here is a religious world. On our right, over here, the map of the United States, it is a religious world. So it is the spiritual aspect of God's plan. On our left over here, the Bible land map, the old map of Syria and Iraq and Iraq and those different places in the Mediterranean area. If you notice that this is the old country, and it's the natural with God. Do you see in the middle here? You see another map right here, and you notice right here is Rome, Italy. Right here. How many remember reading about Rome in the history book? Right here is Rome, Italy. And if you remember Paul, right around over here, down around Jerusalem, right in here is where Paul caught the ship and went across, and was shipwrecked. It shows it here, Crete, and a lot of the other places the Bible mentions. Going over to Rome, you remember how he was bit by the snake over here in this certain area where they were shipwrecked there for a while? Well, anyway, the gospel went on over to Rome. Now, if you notice that over here in the natural is where we find the eastern sunrise of civilization. Coming up down here in Egypt, I spoke of it last night, over here where they found the Rosetta Stone and the hieroglyphics. Here is where civilization sprang up. Well, this was the first great world empire. This was the first great world empire. How did you know that? That's true. Not only does the Bible teach it, but Babylon, right over here, Babylon became a world power. God raised up Nebuchadnezzar over there. You remember the children of Israel, how the Old Testament says that they went into bondage for 70 years. Remember how the prophet went out there and prophesied and said, "Yea, thus saith the Lord, you shall go into bondage for 70 years. Then the false prophet, he come along and he made him a set of horns, and he began to push and say, "Yea, thus saith the Lord, there's nothing to what this prophet said." And the prophet said, "Because thou hast done this thing, thou shalt die." He said, "Thou shalt die because thou hast misled the people." And so it came to pass just exactly like the prophet of God said. And 70 years they went down into Babylon, which was this great world kingdom. That was the first Babylonian kingdom. Then the second world power come over here to Rome, which the Bible calls spiritual Babylon. And it was the second world power, which we call the Dark Age. Then the third great world power come over here to Washington, and this is really the great whore that sets upon many waters, the United States. The United States is the great whore that sets upon many waters. and made all the nations drunk with the wine of her fornication, which is her doctrines and her teachings. Now, I know that Rome is the great whore. Right here, Rome, it was set upon seven hills. This is the great whore. But this is the second step of the first Babylon that was down here in this natural, over in the natural kingdom of God. Comes over to Rome, which is a physical aspect of it. It turned into a man's kingdom right here, and they ruled the world that was there in the dark age. So this was the great whore. But it was to come in the last days over to the United States. The United States was to turn Catholic, set up the Confederation of Churches, which is called the World Council of Churches. And when that World Council of Churches was set up, then America was to rule the nation. The Pope is to come right here and set up his kingdom around Washington, around New York. If we had time to go into that, I could show you some types and shadows that would positively prove to you that what I'm telling you is the truth. So he'll come over here and set his kingdom over here, and he will rule from Washington. He will rule the entire world. But the Bible says when he does that over here in this foreign country of Jerusalem, which is the eastern world, Daniel said, tidings out of the east shall trouble him. That is, he'll have a great kingdom. He'll have the Confederation of Nations. He'll be in charge of the United Nations. He'll have a confederation of religion with a National Council of Churches. But while he's ruling over here out of the east, tidings will trouble him. Did you know that already there's tidings out of the east that's troubling the Pope of Rome? I made a prediction that the Antichrist would come to the United States in the year 66, and he did. Come over here and held a mass meeting right up there in the Yankee Stadium, and he come to Washington. He spoke to the United Nations, and he tried to get China to join the United Nations. China goes, you're looking over to the eastern country, and it troubled him because China would not join up with the United Nations. Not only that, but it said tidings out east will trouble him, which is Jerusalem. The little country of Jerusalem will reject the United Nations Pact when they realize it's Antichrist, and they will keep saying that the Pope is not out of Christ, but there is coming a Jesus through the eastern gates, and someday we will become the head of the nations, which is the Bible. He said, I'll make you the head, not the tail. He said, if you do the things I tell you, read it in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe it is. All in the book of Deuteronomy, he said that if you will keep my commandments, I will make you the head and not the tail. Well, Jerusalem failed to keep it. He made her the tail and not the head. But when she repents of her sins, when she accepts God, she will be made the head of the nations, which will take us into the millennium reign where she will rule the world. All right, now tidings out of the east will trouble him. He will get all of the United Nations, take them together, and go here and gather in around the little city called Jerusalem. And the Bible said, when you see the cities of Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. The Bible said that God will let an evil thought enter into the mind of Gog and Magog, which is Russia. And they will gather together around here. How many of you know that Russia is responsible for that Arab condition that we got over there right now? In other words, Gog and Magog is responsible right now for the Arabs coming in here against the Jews. Now, I want you to notice something here. Ever since the days of Abraham, there has been a continual war between the Arabs and between the Israelites. Because the Israelites are descendants of Isaac, and the Arabs are descendants of Ishmael. And both of those boys know that Abraham was their father. And they claim the Canaan land as their inheritance, which is a type of the sons of God and the sons of Satan. And so then the battle between Arabs and Israelites raged on. That's why Kennedy was killed and Arabs killed him, because Kennedy said he was going to help the Israelites. And so we see it coming over in our own country. Because Kennedy was going to aid Jerusalem, then the Arabs had somebody to kill him. And we see the war raging on between these two people. Well, we know that Isaac was the son of faith. We know that Ishmael was the son of the bondswoman, and that the real inheritance really belongs to Isaac. But anyway, there's to be a war between them. Here, there'll be a war, a continuation of war, that will not be settled until the coming of the Lord Jesus. And all nations will be gathered into Jerusalem for the great battle of Armageddon. There'll come a great battle of Armageddon, and the Bible said the blood shall run up to the horse's bridle. I wish we could go through it. I'm with you to tell you what the horse's bridle means and what the blood means and all of that, the battle of Jehoshaphat, the battle of Armageddon, those things. But anyway, just briefing it tonight here that we might get a picture and then break it down later little by little. Here we can see that the great battle will be over here. Now, over here I want to say again, people miss the coming Lord Jesus because they look for Him in His coming rather than in His appearing. He will come back to the Jews as a natural man under judgment. He will appear unto the church the second time without sin unto salvation as a revelation to translate and rapture His people. He will come back in the natural clouds of heaven. He will come back as a natural man, but He will not come back to the church like that. He will not come back to the spiritual aspect. There is a natural Jesus which died on the cross over here, and there is a spiritual Jesus which is the Holy Ghost that comes to be glorified in His saints to translate them. Now, I want to point out again, Jesus told them when they said, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. It don't come by looking after it. Neither shall they say, lo, here is the kingdom. Neither shall they say, oh, here is the kingdom. But He said, the kingdom of God is within you. It's the little leaven. It's the Word of God. It's the spiritual Word that's made revelation that the writer said, God hid within the lump until the three measures was leavened, which is body, soul, and spirit. And so in its justification to your spirit, teachings coming from Martin Luther, sanctification to your soul, teachings coming from John Wesley, and glorification to your body, which comes in this last day after God has sent the prophet William Branham to our aid. Now then, I know that Brother Branham did not get to give us this, but he was the milestone that marked the age for it. Alright, now then, if you'll notice, this is the natural, this is the physical, and this is the spiritual. Now on this map, you've got body, soul, and spirit, three in one here and tight, all together on your world map. Because it, actually, your journey, when the sunrise of civilization come up here in a great world empire, it was about that time, according to history, when Alexander the Great come sweeping down there with the Hellenistic religion and established a religion down there. And how many remember the visions of Daniel where he spoke of the Grecian kingdom? Spoke of the Grecian king that would come in and said then after certain things took place, that kingdom would just be diminished and it would be divided among the four. When he had the vision of the horns and so forth, they said that he had just that many generals, and when Alexander the Great finally died, his kingdom was divided among those four horns, which was the four generals. Horns means power. So God showed it to Daniel, and sure enough, he come in with that woman religion over there. How many of you know we still got the woman religion? It's been a woman's church. It's been a woman's world. It was the woman that overthrew man in the garden all down through the age, all the way over here. Satan has brought the woman over here. He's still got a woman's church. Still got her ruling. Still got her authority. Still got her in the home ruling. Still pushing the man around. It's been that way all down through the ages. Even the number 13 is a woman's number, and we had 13 colonies when they finally come into the United States. And today she still controls the church. But the Bible said the sons of God were to come on the scene. John said, now, beloved, are ye the sons of God. Now, I want to say this tonight. that the ministry, the preachers, just speaking of preachers now, the preachers have never been able to straighten out the world. They never will be able to straighten out the world, because God did not call the preacher to straighten out the world. He called the preacher to preach the gospel, that people might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they might be saved. But there's a lot of difference when it comes to the sons of God. The Bible said the whole world is groaning, and it's travailing, and it's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Because the Bible said, as many as be led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now then, I may come along as a preacher. I may say, well, we'll set a tent over here, or we'll open up a church over here, or we'll get this building like we've got it tonight and have a revival. But that doesn't mean that I'm a son of God. That doesn't mean that I'm in the will of God. But the Bible says the sons of God will be led by the Spirit. Whatever they do, the Spirit will say do it. Whatever the Spirit says do, that's what they will do. They won't just seek to have a revival. They won't seek to win a soul. They will seek, as Jesus said, I do always the things that I see the Father do.
Amen.
Now, there are certain people in the world which cannot do the way they want to do. They are sons of God. If they did the way they want to do, their children would die. Their wife would die. Something would happen to them as an individual. They cannot do it. Now, like Jonah, for instance, God said, Jonah, you go to Nineveh. Jonah was a child of God. Jonah said, I'll go to Tarshish. And the Bible said he wound up in the belly of the whale. That's what happens to some people when they're sons of God. When God says, go to Nineveh, you go to Nineveh. Like the Lord took Philip one time away from a citywide revival, had miracles, had healing, had people saved, and the Bible said there was great joy in that city. But the Bible said God spoke to Philip and said, Philip, there's just one eunuch over here, and I want you to go to him. Could you imagine what we would do today if the Lord of heaven spoke to Brother Pike? I was in some big city in a citywide campaign. Miracles was taking place. Healings was taking place. Multitudes was coming, and there was great joy. And the Lord said, son, I want you to close out this revival. There's a man over yonder by the name of Junior McKellum. I want you to go there and talk to him. You know what I'd do? I'd say, Lord, surely, surely, surely to God, I'm hearing some strange voice. That couldn't be the Lord. But see, that was God, to leave a citywide revival and go to one man. That was God. Now then, I've got just a little group of people here tonight. When I could be somewhere, maybe preaching to a great multitude of people, if I just wanted to lay it out right and plan it. But that isn't the plan of God. God's plan is to get those that He wants, to get them rooted and grounded. Jesus could have preached to the whole world, but He took 12 men and spent His life with 12 men. Did you know that according to history, He never got more than a couple of hundred miles away from home, perhaps at the very most. Out of all of this big world, Jesus never went like Paul the apostle did. He preached in one area. He had to lay a foundation. He had to become the root of a tree, a family tree of Christians that will reach slap across the entire world. And so it was with Jesus. So it is with us. Alright, now then, if you'll notice right here in Washington, let's just take and see if these things really hold true. You know, the Bible said to prove all things. All right, let's prove something here. Now, if what I'm saying tonight is just a figment of wild imagination, then there won't be any harmony in what I'm saying. But if what I'm saying actually focuses in your mind as having some means of reality or something that you can understand, then you'll accept it. All right, what? Over here, on my right side, which is the spiritual aspect of God's plan, which we say spiritual because it is the religious aspect. Remember, there's Jew on the left here, and then there is Catholic, which is in the middle here, and then there is Protestants, three major religions. There is Jew, Catholic, and Protestant. Natural, physical, spiritual. Body, soul, and spirit. That's the way they're on. And we could go on with a lot of things, breaking it down. Sun, moon, and stars. We could break it down. Heaven, earth, and water, and so on and so forth. But anyway, I just want to bring two or three things here to where you can get a pattern in your mind. All right? Over here in the United States, which is the third aspect of God's Word, history repeats itself in three major cycles. And this is the third cycle, natural, physical, spiritual. Here's the spiritual cycle, which is the United States. Now, I say spiritual because it's the religious cycle. All right, now, notice right here in the United States, here's Washington, D.C. Now, let's see if these things hold true to pattern. Let's say that Washington, D.C. is the holies of holies. How many of you know that in the Old Testament, God shows Moses blueprint and said, Moses, make everything according to the pattern shown thee in the mount. How many remember the tabernacle had the inner court, had the outer court, and had the holies of holies? The holies of holies, the inner court, and then the outer court. That one, two, three again had the natural, physical, and spiritual. I'm going to show you something right here. I tell you what, let's start with the holies of holies. Let's start right here in Washington, D.C. that controls the world. This is the holies of holies right here in God's physical creation. It's the holies of holies. This is the place of authority. Now notice this, that outside of the holies of holies, the Bible speaks of the inner court. The United States is the inner court. The United States is the inner court. Now let's see if this holds true to pattern. The holies of holies in Washington, the United States is the inner court. Alright, then the Bible said beyond the inner courts was the outer courts. Was the outer courts. You cross over the great ocean and you go beyond the great ocean. You go over into the foreign countries away from the United States and you know what you'll find? Notice Washington, holies and holies, United States here, the inner courts, cross over the water, go into the foreign world over here and you've got the outer courts. Alright, what is the outer court? If the United States is the inner court, then the United Nations is the outer court. Washington is the holiest of holies. United States, the inner court. The United Nations is the outer court. Now, when the Pope of Rome came over here, you know what he was interested in? The Bible said, let the outer courts lay waste until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Then I will redeem the outer courts. All right, the Jew is the outer courts right here. How many of you see this? The Jew has been mocked, spit on, ridiculed, talked about, killed out. They've been the outer courts. Nobody would accept them. God left them out into a rim of darkness. They couldn't find God. The Bible said God blinded Israel in part till the time of the fullness of the Gentiles should come in. And so then at the fullness of the Gentiles over here, then the outer courts was to be redeemed, which is the Jew. But up until this time, the Jew has laid waste in the outer court, and we have been in the holies of holies. Now, you remember, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was rent in twain. How many remember last night how we talked about the veil of darkness seen through glass darkly, the veil rent in twain, the veil taken away from the reading of the Old Testament, how that we now enter into the mind of Jesus Christ, into the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy of Holies. We just go right in there now. And how that the body, the outside body is the outer courts. Now we're taking, I want you to notice this, we're breaking a natural thing down into a one, two, three. But every bit of it's natural. Can you see what I'm talking about? Every bit of this is natural, land and water, moon and stars. It's just a natural world. That's all it is. Every bit of it. But we're breaking it down in a one, two, three, a natural, physical, and spiritual that you might be able to see God working in His trying pattern. Over here, natural, right here, physical. physical, right here spiritual. In other words, 1, 2, 3. Breaking the natural thing down into a body, soul, and spirit, that we might come to the second step, which really is the physical. All of this is the natural, but humanity is not natural. When you speak of flesh and blood, when you speak of bones, science will tell you that's physics, that's physical, that's the physical world. There is a world of flesh and blood, which is a physical world, and you take your physical world, take one individual, and break him down, and you'll find out there is soul, spirit, soul, and body. There is body, soul, and spirit. Going the same way we're going here, body, outer court, soul, inner court, spirit, holies of holies, where God sets up his kingdom. That's in the physical world. All right? Now we're using here one natural world divided into three parts, the old country or the old world, which is destroyed by fire, and the new world. Over here, which is the type of the land of milk and honey, which of course is the United States. Now let's see if we can get this. Notice now that we have the natural broken down into three parts. Take the physical world, which is flesh and blood, break them down into three parts, and then go into the angelic world, which is the spiritual world, and break them down in three parts. When you go the third step, like in school, they say from one power to the second power to the third power. Or you go 1, 2, 3. First dimension, second dimension, third dimension. Or Paul said first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. All right, now then, if we go into the spiritual realm, what do we find? We find there's three types of spirit. There is God, there is Satan, and there is man. So then we find the good angels, the bad angels, and man's angels, which is the mediocre, which is the in-between. He's just innocent. Any spirit can get a hold of him. Either the good spirit can become one with him and take him into control, make a temple out of him and glorify him and make him one with God, or either Satan can do it and make his image. All right? That's the spiritual realms. But notice we're dealing with a natural realm, but we're breaking it down into a first dimension, second dimension, third dimension. How many see that? First dimension, second dimension, third dimension. All right, the first dimension is Israel, Palestine, the Holy Land, where God gave a natural people a natural inheritance. The second dimension is Rome, Italy, over here, where the second world empire was, that was called the Dark Age, which is called spiritual Babylon, right in there where the blood of the martyrs was spilled. How many remember that right after Pentecost? Right after Pentecost, how many remember how that the religion of the apostles, because of Paul, the apostles' endeavors and teachings became the world religion? Remember that this part of the world was never discovered until after this empire was set up right here. You notice that? See, this was the first world empire over here. And then they branched out, they discovered another part of the world, they set up the Roman Empire. Now we could go into it according to Daniel's visions about the iron and the clay and show which was which, and we just had the time. But anyway, coming over here, we find the third world power, which is the United States. Actually, every one of them is the great whore. It's the same thing. It's the great whore power that's going through the three stages. But we find over here that God is going to let Antichrist rule over here as a type of the land of milk and honey. But when Jesus comes, he'll come under judgment up to the world, and he'll come right here as a natural Jesus. Yet he'll be the quickening spirit, but he'll appear the natural here to them, and he'll come back and set his kingdom up here. Over here, the gay 90 shows, the gold rush and all these things over in the United States has drawn civilization all the way from this corner of the world, from Jerusalem, over here. The sun rises in the east. It comes to a high noon over here in Rome, then it sets over here in America. In other words, the gospel sunrise of civilization and the knowledge of God rises in the east among the Jews. It comes all the way over to Rome, Italy, sets in the high noon where they martyred the Christians and then comes over here to the United States and the sun is set. The sun rises in the east, it sets in the west. And I made this statement here recently. We know that the sun is going down because the Negro, which is the title of darkness, is beginning to cover the world. The Bible said gross darkness shall cover the people. And so it's setting in. The sunrise is going down in the United States, and the Bible said that we are the light of the world. That means that the ministers are leaving the United States. They're losing desire. I could mention some of them like Brother W.B. Grant, said he never cared for any other preach to the people of the United States again or not. I was visiting with Brother David Nunn down in Texas. David showed me some revival pictures and how the tent was packed out where he was at over there. Said he'd opened up a college over in the farm country. Said he was interested in Mexico. He's lost his vision for the United States, so to speak. All they're doing, folks, is using the United States to get money that they might go over there. But they lost their vision for it. All right, Brother David Carroll has lost interest in it. Had to preach into those 40 cities. He's going over there. Brother Roberts going over there. Brother Till Osborne over there. Brother Baldwin said he's going over there. And I, of course, my desire is over there too. Which means that if we are the light of the world, the light of the world is going out. And I believe with all of my heart that right here in this coming year of 69, that we're going to see one of the greatest moves that the church has ever witnessed in the history of the world. And I believe that it'll be capped over the coming of 70, and scientists has predicted a world standing by the year of 1970. Did you know that everything in the natural parallels the spiritual? That means that by 1970, that we're going to have a world standing in spiritual things. And you watch what I'm telling you. If there's a natural world famine, there's going to be a spiritual world famine. And I'll tell you something. We got a lot of Josephs connected with this revelation. Joseph was down there during the time of that famine. And God, though he was rejected by the brethren, yet God had preserved the entire world during that famine by that which he had given Joseph. All right, now then. I want to point out a few more things here, if you'll notice right quickly. Alright, we got this natural world over here, which is called the old world. We got the spiritual world over here, which is the land of milk and honey. Now, in its type, you can take either one of these countries and break them down if you want to. They'll break down into a 1, 2, 3. Take the journey of the children of Israel. You've got Egypt. You've got the wilderness. You got Canaan land. Alright, you take the pilgrimage over here in the physical world, you'll find out it's the very same. It comes from Jerusalem, comes to Rome, and it comes right over here to the United States. Alright, then it comes, you come over here to the United States and you got three. You start over here, the pilgrims come in and landed around Jamestown, Virginia. At Plymouth Rock, the children remembered the little Mayflower compact and the Nina, the Pina, the Santa Maria, the three ships that come over. How they landed here at Jamestown, Virginia, and then they started their great journey. One of the great markers of the United States is the Mississippi River over here. It separates the middle part of the United States from the eastern part. So it's a great marker. Then you find the great Rocky Mountains is a great marker. So then there is three divisions, California, Arkansas, and the Carolinas, as far as dividing them into sections. That is the west, and that is the middle part of our United States, and that is the eastern part. When the pilgrims landed, remember, God, how many of you know God reverses everything? Said the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. What God does is use the natural, and everything he does in the natural. So, here he starts in the natural, and the natural civilization springs up in the east, moves all across the world, settling the frontier to bring us the type and shadow, which is our intellectual thought pattern of natural things, that later God might translate it into the spiritual revelation. Alright, they come over here, they landed here, and they went all the way to the western corner of the world. Now the gold rush here, which was a type of faith, and we had time to go into all things, caused them to go to the well. But Brother William Branham, as well as many other great men of God, which has been anointed of the Lord, has predicted that the areas of California will sink into the ocean. Already it's sinking into the ocean, because I've seen pictures in the magazines where whole parcels of land are breaking off and the beautiful homes is going down into the ocean. This is going to create a terror that will cause the people to come all the way back over here to the eastern part of the United States. How many believe that's true? Watch and see if it don't happen. I want to point out something to you. God kept letting them find something better, all the way from Egypt, all the way over to the United States and the California. Now, that was to draw them in the natural all the way across there. They settled the west, and they settled the northern countries. And if you could just read it and get the revelation of it, it would thrill your soul of what it means. I would come all the way over to the west, then from the western world, notice God's given a warning now, because they've gone to the ultimate. Now the last shall be first, the first shall be last. That was the natural pilgrim of the natural world. But now it reverses. It starts back, and this is the golden age. This is the age to where that it's no longer the pilgrims and their natural journey. It is now reversed, and it is Christ and His people. Notice, this was the intellectual mind of Satan from the tree of knowledge, leading man from the garden here in Palestine all the way across the world, slap over to the United States and right here to California. The love of materialism, the intellectual powers. But now, Jesus Christ takes over right here in California. How many of you know it's right here in California? That on Azusa Street, 1901, that the power of God fell and the Holy Ghost took over. It's right here the Holy Ghost picks His people up, reverses the whole thing, and begins to unravel everything in the spiritual revelation and take that natural thought pattern, breaks it down, and show what God's been doing all the time. So He picks His people up. Here He gives a prophecy by the prophet that this is the end of the world, so to speak. And Bible said, you're the people upon whom did the world come. Right here, California starts sinking. And already in Atlanta, Georgia, one preacher came all the way from California. They wrote articles in the paper about it. I think I still got the clipping. Where he brought his whole church away from California. When I was out in Tucson, Arizona, talking to Billy Paul and some of the other brethren, right here in Tucson, Arizona, there has been people that's come all the way from California to give up their homes and their churches and come to one desolate little spot called Tucson, Arizona, because of the prophecy that was given concerning this. Alright? Notice they're moving back. The movie stars sprang up on Broadway over here. Tidal Broad is the way to structure. Coming to California, the gold rush, all of that, now it's over. And the beauty will be in the east, where the Pope and the Catholic Church will take over. It'll draw all the people back across the Rockies, across the Jordan River, right back over to the eastern world. Now, I know that all of the gold was in California, but them people in New York were smart enough that they got control of it. They were smart enough that they took control of it. Alright, remember the north will always rule. I'd like to point that out sometime. Alright, notice this. Now they come from California back to here because of the destruction that was pronounced upon California. So it comes back to New York and back to the east. Alright, New York, New England states carry a type. If we had time, we'd go into it, but we can't tonight. Anyway, it comes back. Now what's going to happen? Remember, it's a religious thing now. It's not a history of natural people, not in the intellectual journey. It's a faith journey now. So it starts back. What's going to happen? That spiritual pilgrimage will come all the way back to the east. You want me to prove it? Come all the way back to the east. But it won't stop there. As it comes back over to the eastern part there will be a prophecy that will come out that the whole United States will be burned to a crisp. They'll begin to believe and see it. That will drive them on back over. They'll go back over in here where some of the men are going to right now. Algeria, Libya, Saudi Arabia, all over here, Spain, France, going back to the foreign countries. But that won't stop either, because there'll be a terror in that era when the 10 nations shall rise up. Then he'll be driven right on back over to the east where the sun rises again. The sun goes down. The last thing first, the first thing last, is a spiritual journey all the way from the eastern world of the western world of sunset back to the eastern sunrise of the revival among the Jews, which will be that Easter sunrise that will bring the resurrection of the body, which is the Jew, to show what? It shows that the body, soul, and spirit has been reunited together, and that the end of the world is at hand. Now watch what the mind of Christ shows here in its types and shadows. The Bible said the Holy Ghost will show you things to come, and the way he does it, he shows it to you in the mind of Christ by revealing the foreknowledge of God through the mind of Christ. All right, watch and see if this holds true. Here, Jesus Christ was crucified. His body was divided into three parts. That is his being. His body, soul, and spirit were separated, dissected into three parts, which was the rending of the veil. His body went into a grave. His soul went into hell. His spirit went into paradise. How many believe that? All right, look at it and see if it actually happened in mass humanity. All right, take one part of humanity, which is the Jews. That is the people that went into the grave. They went into the outer darkness. The Bible said that they'll come from the east, they'll come from the west, they'll set down in the place of the children of the kingdom, which was the Jews, and the Jews, which are the children of the kingdom, shall be cast into outer darkness. They'll come from the east and the west, which was the Gentiles. They'll be translated into the kingdom of God. The Bible said God has translated us into his marvelous kingdom. But he said the children of the kingdom, which is the Jews, shall be cast into outer darkness. What is outer darkness? It's out of the mind of God. Paul said, or the Lord said, Paul, turn my people from darkness unto light, which means that the carnal mind is darkness, but the mind of God is revelation and light, and in the evening time it would come to pass that the mind of God would be revealed. It shall be light. There was darkness over here with the Jews, and there was twilight over here in Rome, and there is light over here in the United States. And so the separation of the body, soul, and spirit. Here is the Jew, the body dead in the grave. Here is the Roman Catholic people right here, which is called the Gentile people. All of the Gentiles wander after the beast, that is, all that reject the word, all the world. Here they are around Rome over here. We see them represented as the soul, and which is the blood realm, where all that blood was spilled for the martyrs. Said she's drunk off the blood of martyrs, blood and fire being the same thing, showing God and the wrath of God, the consuming fire. Then over here, here's the third part. Remember the second part, Rome shows the soul of Christ and mass humanity in hell, in their suffering. Over here shows the spirit of Christ, a mass body of humanity, which is the third part of mass humanity in paradise in the land of milk and honey. This was ordained to evangelize the world, because the spirit is the life of the body, and this spirit, which is the United States, has to go back into the soul, which is the people of Rome and the United Nations, and go back into the body of the Jews to bring life to the Jews. Out of Zion shall come forth the deliverer, turn ungodliness away from Jacob, and she'll be resurrected. All of Israel shall be saved. Blind in part, cut off to the fullness of Gentiles, come in. All right, notice right hurriedly. Here, the Jew, which is the body, out of the body comes the soul, which is the Catholic. Out of the soul comes the spirit, which is the church, or Protestants. So then the Protestants must join the Catholics, and the Catholics must join the Jews in a world council or confederation of churches to show the reuniting of the body of Jesus Christ and mass humanity in its type, to show the resurrection, just as the dissecting of these three parts showed the death of mass humanity without God. And we're on the verge of that very thing right now. Just like a telescope, you pull out three parts, one out of the other, and push them right back together. That's really what it amounts to. All right? Then it's easy to see that the outer court that we spoke of, which is the Jew, the body, has to be redeemed. Is that right? Well, now you see that here in the United States, if you can get a hold of this, here in the United States is the inner courts, because Washington is the holiest of holies. United Nations is the outer court, see, which shows the Jew part. All right, now, notice this right here. In the United States, right here, in the United States, how do you know that it's in the inner courts that the lamb is always burned on the altars? Read the Old Testament. You'll find out that the beast bodies are burned without the gates. All right, where is without the gates? Leave the golden gates of the United States, where do you go to? Leave the golden gates of America, where do you go to? How many of you know that we've got what we call the golden gates where they come in and out in the Navy? Leave the golden gates, which gives us a type of the gates of heaven. Leave those golden gates, go over across the waters, which is a gulf, the great gulf, crossing over this time. What do? You get over here with these people that do not know God, that's considered brute beasts made to be taken and burned. These beasts' bodies, remember, blood represents fire, fire represents blood, it's one and the same. All of the blood from all the wars are spilled from the body of the beast, showing the bodies being burnt outside of the gates over here. But the inner part, which is the holy part, is taken from here, which is the triumph of our victory, and our soldiers brought right over here into the United States to be offered. The Bible said our bodies are a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service. Being a lamb without spot and blemish, over in the inner courts right here. Now, it's hard to see this, but you watch and see if I'm telling you the truth. There has to be an inner church, there has to be an inner Christ, has to be an inner government, an inner system, which is a tie. There has to be an anti-system, which is a tie. But there has to be a real Christ, a real church, and a real spiritual world. So this world is an anti-world, anti-government, anti-religion, anti-type. Everything is just the type of that which is to come. That's what anti means, just the type. Okay, now notice this. Rome is predestined to rule the world. Oh, I wish I could bring this out tonight, but my son. Rome is predestined to rule the world. Now, when the Pope of Rome sets up world religion, world government, and I say this, that we're going to have a Catholic government, Catholic religion rather, a communist government, and the Negro people is going to rule the world. Now watch and see. It's going to be a three in one. The Negro is darkness. That Negro cannot rule. It takes a white man to do it. But that Negro is going to rule the world. The spirit of that Negro with his rumble, bumble, jumble, rock and roll, with his carefree life of lethargy, just he'll well do, with his sloppiness and slouchiness. Now, I don't mean anything against the Negro. There's good Negroes. There's good white men. There's sorry Negroes and sorry white men. And I'm speaking of the sorry cult that shows the type and shadow. That darkness will rule through the Catholic religion, which Catholic religion will rule through a communist policy. And then in the end there will be a double cross, and communism is going to bolt the great whore. That's where the Bible speaks of her desolation coming in 1 hour, where he'll burn her people, which is her flesh, with fire, which will be the atom bomb that will be dropped right here in the United States. It'll be burned up. It won't be nothing left. That's why everybody will go back to the East. Be God's way of driving back the civilization back over there. So the millennium can start from over here. But right here, if you'll notice, this Catholic Church is the true church in the earth as far as the anti-church. That means that it must be victorious.